This episode is brought to you by Miro, the online collaborative whiteboard where distributed product teams get work done. Go from idea to execution using pre-built Kanban boards, sticky notes, and retrospectives all on an infinite canvas. Learn more and try Miro for free. Visit Miro.com to get started. That's Miro.com.
Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Are you learning lots of good stuff? Awesome. So I'm super happy to talk to you about the six steps that I crafted to help teams at my company become more balanced. So these are the steps that I'm going to go through with you. So one, I'm going to talk about what is a balanced team, because it's a kind of a misunderstood concept. Then I'm going to talk about my motivation for creating those six steps. Then I'm going to talk about my process for coming up with the six steps. And then I'm going to do the grand unveiling of what are the six steps. And my hope is that you get inspired to take this back to your employment and your company and your teams, and to do these six steps yourself with your teams. Okay, so raise your hand if you've heard the term balanced team. Okay, some people, but not a lot. The kind of core idea is that a balanced team is a multidisciplinary team where you have product, design, and engineering all working together to achieve the product outcome. So there's a first level of maturity, which is where each discipline owns responsibility for its own the decisions that fall within that discipline. And this works pretty well, but it could be even better. So the second level of maturity, which is what I'm going to talk about today, is where there's a process for everybody within the team having all the signals so that decision-making along engineering, design, and PM can be taken together. Okay, so why did I create the six steps? Well, within our company, we wanted to move to the second level of maturity. We have cross-functional teams that are co-located with design, PM, and engineering, but we hadn't moved to this more shared outcome framework. So our senior vice president, in an all hands, said, embracing these principles can help teams have healthier, deeper conversations as they align around the customer outcomes they seek to deliver. So that sounds pretty good to me. So there was a big ask from the SVP to go make this change. But there were issues getting there. So teams didn't understand, what is a balanced team? What's the motivation for becoming a balanced team? What are the benefits? How to do it? Like, how do you move in that direction? And there was also resistance from some team members in participating in work outside their domain. So I thought, okay, so I saw these problems, and I thought, I like a hard problem. And I'm a product manager, so I used my product tools to create these six steps. So I did a classic double diamond. You probably do recognize this, discovery and framing. So discovery is about learning what are the problems, like why. So we have this outcome we want around moving toward the second level of maturity, a balanced team. What are the problems that teams are having around getting there? And then the framing side is how do I build how do I fix that? What is the solution for helping teams moving in this direction? And so I did that discovery to understand what the problems were, and then I designed these six steps. In classic product manager fashion, I then iterated. So I tried it out with teams, and what I did is in between each step in the six steps, I sent out a survey to everybody on the team asking about some different measures of balancedness, and saw an upward trend. And where I didn't see an upward trend, I would change the next step to have a better outcome. Okay, so here's the big reveal. These are the six steps. So you start with psychological safety. Then you have the ask, like, why do we want to do this thing? What's the expectation? Then we talk about the history and benefits of balanced team. Then we do some upskilling, and this is a really important part that might be surprising. Then we come up with some experiments, and then we have kind of a recurring check-in to see how teams are moving in this direction and whether the process is working for them. So again, who knows what psychological safety is? So this is unbelievably important. It's the foundation for high-functioning teams. It's a shared belief by members of a team that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. And what you find when you have teams that have psychological safety is there's more innovation, there's more creativity, there's better product outcomes. It's absolutely fundamental to having really high-performing teams. So we do this workshop first to get teams into a better space for working together and innovating. The workshop itself, we talk about what is the concept of psychological safety. We talk about what does psychological safety look like at the company. What are the examples or non-examples of psychological safety? We also talk about that within the team. And then importantly, we talk about how the team can move toward being more psychologically safe. And here are some of the tips that we offer. So creating team norms, holding each other accountable for team culture, having rituals for team decision-making, holding regular team health checks, and for important meetings, having a facilitator who's ensuring that everybody in the room has a voice. So the second step is the ask. At my company, it was a senior vice president saying, please do this thing. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be the team itself deciding that it wants to go in a more balanced way. It could be today. My ask to you. So what's important in this ask is that you start with what is a balanced team? Because it is really a fuzzy concept. And then you have to be clear about the ask, whether it's moving to the first or second level of maturity. You want to talk about the why. Why do we want to do this thing? Who needs to be involved? And when do we start? So there's a clear, call to action. The third step is the history and benefits of balanced team. So balanced team is actually an evolution of Agile. And so you'll see as I talk about the history and how it's an improvement and the benefits that that balanced team brings on top of Agile. Okay, so a little bit of history. Way back when we were building products, there were siloed teams. You'd have somebody building the spec, and they were only accountable for creating the spec. That was their output, and there was no ownership of the entire product outcome. Then they'd hand it to development and test and, all those steps. And so very siloed, very little communication between each step. And what you'd find at the end is that, often the thing wasn't fit for purpose, didn't meet customer needs. And so we moved to Agile. So Agile, as a change from Waterfall, has a very strong emphasis on collaboration and communication and teams working together to achieve the product outcome, learn together. So definitely, the right direction. What was left over from Waterfall was that teams were, so we have all these disciplines. People still sat in their discipline, and then teams would get pulled together sort of remotely to build products. So people recognized that this was a problem, and the balanced team movement was founded. And so the idea behind, and I talked about this earlier, this is like maturity level one, was that you have multidisciplinary teams that are co-located, and you have all those voices represented, and that's why it's called balanced. It's because, you know, the product manager isn't the CEO, no one discipline is dominant, no one person is dominant. It's people working together to achieve the product outcomes. So if we talk about the characteristics of this second stage of maturity, again, it's psychological safety, very, very important, feedback loops. So it's a team that is continuously adjusting its direction and approach based on input from inside and outside the team. So I think the outside, you might expect that. You hear things from customers, data, sales, support, different sources. Inside the team as well. So, you know, an engineer notices that a customer, like, that something could be better. And then that they bring that to the team, and the team adjusts based on that feedback. Outcome-oriented. So everybody in the team has a very clear understanding of the customer value and outcomes that the team is driving, and there's shared ownership of those things. Pragmatic roles. This one's interesting. So it might be that, this happens a lot. So the people who are in the design function kind of go off, do a bunch of customer interviews, research, come back with, you know, some synthesis of what they discovered. So instead of doing that, you might have engineers driving the customer research, or you might have product managers kind of knee-deep in solutioning. It's like you bring all the brains, all the skills, all the different perspectives to all the problem solving that the team is doing. So I like this. So currently, when the way houses are built, it is actually very waterfall. So you have an architect who designs stuff, who hands stuff off to a project manager, who might hand stuff to a site manager, and then you have all the trades sort of very siloed doing the things that they do. And what happens a lot is that, you know, there's errors in the drawings, like sockets end up in weird spaces, doors open the wrong way, openings are too narrow, like there's all kinds of problems. So imagine if instead of building a house in that old-fashioned waterfall way, that the house builders embraced balanced team. What that means is that the electrician might notice that it really doesn't make sense to put a socket there, or actually there should be three sockets there. That person is responsible for the overall outcomes and can say, hey, let's make this change because I understand what's best for the customer, and so I'm going to do that. And then also, it might be that the plasterer is sick one day, and that's absolutely the next thing that has to happen in building the house. Well, maybe the brickie knows how to plaster, and maybe the brickie steps up and does the plastering, and so, you know, progress can continue to get made. So you get, you know, fewer mistakes. It's faster, it's more efficient, and you get a better customer outcome. As part of talking to teams about why they want to move toward balance, it's obviously really important to talk about the benefits. So shared ownership of outcomes. The PM is not a single point of failure. So, you know, the PM isn't the only person who can accept stories or run IPM or whatever it is. And I don't know about you, but I see PMs being really overloaded, and so this is help. The team feels empowered and included. Team deeply understands the why. It reduces the number of handoffs. And this is that, you know, if everybody's hearing the same signals, then you've got richer communication between everybody on the team, and there's less opportunity for misunderstanding. Problems are solved by the group. So there's just more brains, which is always a good thing, I think. Each member brings different perspectives and skills. And so you have people, you know, who come at things from a different angle, saying, well, you know, let's think about it this way. And so you really do come to better solutions and better insights. And also, team members have more holistic work. They're not just, you know, doing the thing that they're maybe trained in, but they're learning the bigger business, and they get to practice different things. So I'd say it leads to better team outcomes and also a happier team. Okay, so this is an important step. So as I talk about pragmatic roles, you'll notice that I mentioned, for example, engineers participating in user interviews. So the thing about balanced team is there's a good chance people will be asked to do things that they're not necessarily trained in. So in order for people to feel comfortable participating in those things, upskilling is a really important step. And so in our case, it was actually, we had a day-long set of workshops in lean product management and user-centered design for our engineers. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be, Kubernetes training 101 for product managers and designers, or it could be a communications workshop for the whole team. It's just important to recognize that as we're asking people to work in a different way, there might be a skills gap. And so, you know, the kind and good thing to do is to help people bridge that skills gap. So step 5 is an experiments workshop. So this is where we sit with the team and we understand what balanced team practices they want to start doing, what things they want to do what things that they currently do that they think they should stop doing, and what things already fall into the bucket of balanced team. So what are the things they want to recognize, celebrate, and continue doing? And so once they understand that set of practices, they identify experiments, process experiments they can run within the team for start and stop. And they also celebrate the things that they want to continue. So when we, as part of this workshop, we talk about what good looks like, because we're the experts in this, the team isn't. So the thing to notice, is that every balanced team will be different because it is dependent on the people in the team. What are they like doing? What are they good at? What are they interested in? You know, the shape of the balanced team has to reflect that. It should include the product manager ensuring the team has all of the product signals, no matter where they come from. The product manager ensuring that decision-making includes the whole team. The team making explicit decisions about areas of responsibility. So, you know, if everybody's kind of responsible for everything, then things can fall through the gaps. So just, you know, being precise about who owns what. It might include engineers participating in user research and synthesis. It might include engineers writing and prioritizing stories or running IPM, iteration planning meeting. Sorry about the acronym. It might include PM or design being involved in technical solutioning. Like it can go kind of, you know, any way. So these are some experiments that teams at my company came up with. It says start a doc where people can fill in how they see their roles. So basically what that one is about is every person in the team being publicly sharing how they want to grow. What are the new skills they want to learn? What are the opportunities they want? And so when those opportunities come up, they get that chance. The one on the left is all teamwork is in Pivotal Tracker. And that's including like research, like spikes, everything. And so that surfaces and gives everybody in the team an opportunity to take part in those activities. On the right, it says schedule an explore task before the end of each epic. And what that is, so at my company, we practice test-driven design. So that is the testing. And so what the team is saying here is they're claiming ownership of that bigger picture testing. They're saying we want to do that. Regular customer empathy experiments, that's about the people on the team sitting and using the product themselves so they understand what that's really like. And that's everybody on the team. And then the last one was regular check-ins with that sales support and sort of infrastructure team. And that's people on the team asking, again, to have all of those signals on a regular cadence. And step six is a recurring check-in on experiments. And so, I mean, I would say that, like, you know, you're never done moving to balanced team. You don't, like, get there and go, ta-da. And so we, you know, you generate the experiments, and then we have every 2 weeks or at whatever cadence you want, a check-in to see how those experiments are going, and then when with sort of diminishing returns, then we stop. The thing about teams, though, is that, you know, people come in and out of the team, and practices change over time. So you might want to, you can kind of jump back into the process later at any point. So those are the six steps. Shout out to Miro. We use it for absolutely everything. So there's a website, balanceteam.org, where you can learn more about the history of Balanced Team. And then I highly recommend watching this video, Janice Fraser. It's just sort of I think it's 15-minute introduction to Balanced Team. That's it. Thank you so much.
This episode was brought to you by Miro, the online collaborative whiteboard where distributed product teams get work done. Go from idea to execution using pre-built Kanban boards, sticky notes, and retrospectives, all on an infinite canvas. Learn more and try Miro for free. Visit miro.com to get started. That's miro.com.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.